Don't let your savings take a hit. Keep your finances fighting fit, one punch at a time, with Money Fight Club on Share Radio Morning.
Yes, indeed. Financial heavyweights Lindsay Cook and Vic Slayton join me in the studio. Now, with holiday season just about on its way, we'll be looking at how to get the best deal on your spending money without falling victim to fluctuating exchange rates. Plus, what is Nationwide doing to earn the Golden Glove Award this week? And how to get the best deal on shopping vouchers. And don't forget, you can stay up to date with all the latest battles and victories at moneyfightclub.com.
Sharing ideas about money. This is Share Radio.
But first, last week we saw the pound shoot up to its highest level since October following the news of a snap general election. With so much unpredictability, though, we're turning our attention to the all-important issue of holiday money. Deciding when and how to exchange cash can make a big difference to how much spending money you end up with. You could easily end up losing out on as much as £100 if you get it wrong. So first of all, Lindsay, a very good morning to you. Very good morning to you, Vix. What exactly is going on with the pound at the moment?
Well, it's anybody's guess. And if we all knew, we'd be able to make a lot of money. And that's one of the things with currencies. And last week, the pound against the euro was running at about 117. Before the election announcement, it went up to 120. This morning, it's 118 after Macron did OK on Sunday. So the movements aren't tremendous. You make much more of a difference by planning early and making sure you're not the fool who is buying 1,000 euros at Heathrow Airport 5 minutes before you're due at security.
Interesting, isn't it? You mentioned there the French presidential election first round there, Emmanuel Macron up against Marine Le Pen. But isn't it interesting how political events over there, indeed political events here, and we've got something big coming up in June, I'm not sure what it is, but can impact how much money you've got to spend on your holidays, Vix?
Yeah, I think Wimbledon is going to have a really big impact on my holiday money.
Touché.
But, yeah, it's not surprising, really, I guess, in terms of how the economy is linked to how much people are willing to pay for our currency. There was a time I think chocolate money was worth more than the pound back when we committed to Brexit. But I think the snap election really has got the rest of the world thinking that maybe we're going to concentrate on getting out of the EU and not be sort of gearing towards the 2020 election. I think once that's out of the way, it's feels like it's going to be full steam ahead and people are reacting accordingly in the market.
Interesting, we have political topsy-turvies, but there is one rule that Lindsay just mentioned there, that regardless of who is elected or what elections are taking place, you don't buy your money from the airport.
I know, come on, people.
We still do it, don't we?
Yeah, we do all still do it. I know when Lindsay was talking about the fools, I was like, yes, that has been me in the past. It's as usual, it's all about getting your research done. It's all about planning ahead. I mean, the benefit of getting your currency early on, if you know what you're willing to spend, if you know what your budget is, you can lock that down. You can play the odds a little bit if it looks like it's going up and down. But just do the research. It is worth the effort. You know, put some time in. Don't just go to your local travel agent. Certainly don't wait until you get to the airport to do it. It's research. Research is the one. But we're all lazy, aren't we? And we pay the lazy tax.
We do pay the lazy tax as well. But some people might argue, you know, is it best to buy the money now? Because there's a few more issues, nuances, aren't there, given the way that the pound is moving at the moment, as to when is the best time, regardless of where. And let's really do your research as to where you'd go. But when? Now? Do I wait? Can I hedge against it?
Well, it depends. One, how much cash you're going to want.
Mm-hmm. Why does that matter?
Well, cash, if you buy cash today, you've fixed your exchange rate. Mm. Whereas if you use one of these perfect exchange rate credit cards, you have the exchange rate on the day. Some people, myself included, will get cash early from the best deal. Mm-hmm. And there are deals with companies like Travelex and Sainsbury where you can order a couple of weeks in advance and can cancel 24 hours before if the pound goes against what you were going to pay. MoneyCorp, you can order 10 days in advance and you don't even pay till you collect. Mm. So there are those sort of deals. It's doing the research, working out. Usually, if you are buying more than £500 worth of cash, you'll get a better deal. You've got to check whether there is a delivery charge or whether there's a high street place that you can get it, so there's no delivery charge. Check whether you've got a deal for getting returning the money to the agent. If you want to lock in a rate, you can opt for one of these prepaid cards. They're like a credit. They look like a credit card, but you get the money put on it, and then you can spend it pretty much anywhere.
What are they called?
I had one that was by Caxton FX actually, yeah, when I went to Las Vegas, mm-hmm, and that was really, really good. You preloaded the money on. You knew you basically got whatever the reasonable exchange rate was on the day, without the hidden fees, without the charges. I think I had to pay a one-off fee to get the card through the post. It's valid in like 50 countries. So
is it
brilliant.
Insured,
so,
the money, should you lose it in the same way?
Yeah, it is. It's a really secure way of doing it. I really appreciated having the security of that and having what felt like legit currency, because I had a Visa, mm-hmm, card, and I just thought, I'm probably not going to be ripped off because it looks like a normal bank card. So whereas, you know, if you're faffing with your... A traveller's check still a thing? I was just wondering.
That's a really good... I haven't used that since I was 18,
I think. That's
a phrase
I haven't said in years.
Well, I think the problem is, where can you find to exchange them? That might be the problem.
Yes, I think that is a problem. And who wants to look like they're 90?
Yeah.
At least you're...
with your bum bag on, rifling
with your Caxton FX card. It's not a lot different from a traveller's check.
It was just a Visa card.
It looks modern. Yeah. Mm. There are credit cards that are especially good for buying stuff abroad. Halifax Clarity is one. I've got a Santander card, which is also giving perfect exchange rate. I don't think it's available for new customers. You need to check what the costs are on your card. Avoid buying cash. If you're going to a bureau, don't use your credit card to buy your cash, because you'll pay twice. Yes. Yeah. If you're in a store or a restaurant or anywhere abroad, and they're ever so helpful, these sales assistants.
So helpful. No catches here.
You're English. Would you like the purchase in sterling? No, you would not. You want it in the local currency.
It's not just them. They do that at all the airports. So if you go to the duty-free, they will ask you, do you want it in your cash or do you want it in the currency of which you're buying in? And so the advice here is always buy in
the
currency where you are, rather. Yeah,
currency where you are. Then, with your credit card, you know what the exchange rate is, whether it's a perfect exchange rate or a nearly perfect one. If you're buying in a department store that's all over Europe, you can find you're paying quite a high margin. Mm. And you can tell this by, if you go shopping in Oxford Street, they have euro prices on the things here. That's the sort of differential you are paying for the privilege.
Ooh, I got stung by tax in Las Vegas as well, because they don't add the tax on. So the price on the shelf isn't the price you pay. Oh, that hurt every single time. That was a slap in the currency face, that was.
I imagine it was. The problem with this, and if you're buying in advance, is to know how much you're going to budget. So it could help, couldn't it? But some tips, and Vix, I'm coming to you just purely off the off chance that you've ever been abroad and you haven't stuck to your budget. Any tips for which you can? Because then you think, oh, well, I'm here, I'll just stick it on the card.
Don't take it out of the cash point. That's something that I learnt the hard way. And I thought, oh, go big. If I'm going to be charged a fee for getting money out, I might as well take loads of money out, which was a very big mistake and one that I shan't make again. I think that was the beauty of the Caxton FX card, and other cards are available, obviously. But that's the one that I've used. You can load more on. And that's, I went online. We got about 9 days into the holiday. I went online, I loaded more money off. You know, it was linked to my bank account, so you're able to draw money over for no extra charge, and you could top it up. And any money that you didn't spend, you could shuttle back at the end. So it was like, it was, for me, I think that is the perfect solution for the lazy girl.
For the lazy
that
girl.
That is the perfect solution. So I've had it sitting in the drawer. I take it out every time I go on holiday, and I think, yeah, it's proved quite a useful little number.
Lindsay?
And I like to have some currency with me. I was on holiday in Canada when everywhere ran out of power and you couldn't buy petrol, you couldn't buy stuff in supermarkets, and I was a banker for our friends because I had some currency. That very rarely happens, but I like to have a bit of cash for small purchases, and it works out very useful. But you do need to be careful. check what your travel insurance will cover you for, mm-hmm. because some of the policies are really mean on how much cash they will cover. Also, keep receipts for spending with cash, because they will want to you to be able to prove how much you had left.
Mm. Also, one final one on this. I know it's not currency, but it is about using your cards abroad. I remember the days where you had to let your bank know. I learnt that the hard way.
Same. I've fallen foul of that one.
That you are going abroad, so they don't think there's some nefarious use on it. Do we still have to do that anymore? I haven't, by the way, and I still have used my card, so clearly they've dropped that one.
I think for my bank it's quite varied, because I had someone defraud my account in Jersey for £300, and then 6 weeks later when I went on the holiday that I screamed down the phone at them that I couldn't afford because I'd had my account defrauded, my card was stopped immediately. So, when you're abroad and you're stuck, and that was, again, I hadn't prepared. You know, I am the tail. I am the friend that thing happens to, so it doesn't happen to you. You know,
we
I'm
learn
prepared
from your
to be
experience.
That person.
Yeah. Thank you, Vix.
I had to call the bank. I was on the phone for about 45 minutes. It cost me a lot of money to get my card reinstated. So, don't do that.
The major credit card companies say you don't need to tell them. If you're travelling in Europe and normal places in their mind.
Not what qualifies as normal.
But it doesn't always work. Mm. And I can remember actually warning a very major credit card, the biggest one, that I was going to India and I was with a party of colleagues, and the bill for the hotel at the end of the time was going to be a very great deal of money. So I warned them. I thought I would pay the night before we left, because breakfast was included. I paid this bill, which was 1 million rupees, which sounds more
that
than
sounds
it
like
is.
Sounds like loads of money.
That sounds a lot of money.
Yeah. And before I got to my hotel room, they had called my husband in London to say, where's your wife? has her card been stolen? Get her to ring us straight away. And I rang them and I said, but I spoke.
They told on you.
Yeah.
I'd be furious if that happened to me. If a credit card provider, right?
They'd be furious, but then you'd think, well, I'm kind of pleased if they're on it. All right, they ignored me the first time round, but let's hope they don't the second. Yes. Lindsay Cook, Vic Layton.
Share Radio. To hear Share Radio after May the 5th, you'll need to listen online or by downloading our app. That's because Share Radio will no longer be available on your DAB digital radio. So visit our website at shareradio.co.uk and download our app today.
Angel News is proud to present the 5th Great British Private Investor Summit, taking place on the 25th of May this year at 200 Aldersgate in London. Bringing together leading names in alternative investment, including venture capital funds, business angels, crowdfunding platforms, and peer-to-peer lenders, the Great British Private Investor Summit is the event for private investors and professionals looking for intelligent and topical comments on the issues of the day. Keynote speakers include World Business Angel of the Year, Peter Cowley, and serial angel investor Peter Mountford, with others to be announced soon. Buy your ticket today at privateinvestorsummit.com.
A very warm welcome. I'm Georgie Frost. You're listening to Share Radio Morning. It's time to get the gloves back on. It's Money Fight Club.
Don't let your savings take a hit. Keep your finances fighting fit, one punch at a time, with Money Fight Club on Share Radio Morning.
Lindsay Cook and Vic Slayton alive in the studio with me. Now it's time for the part of the show where we either reward good service with a Golden Glove Award, or we name and we shame the rip-off merchants with the Sucker Punch Award. But this time, it's a bit of good news. For who exactly, Lindsay?
Nationwide Building Society.
And why is that?
They're offering a new deal aimed at helping parents get their children onto the property ladder. And that's not the bank of mum and dad who've got shed loads of money stashed away. It's the family deposit mortgage, and it allows parents with a mortgage on their own home, with Nationwide, of course, they can borrow up to 80% of the value of their property, including their current mortgage, at a discounted rate, so that they can lend the money to their children for their first or subsequent homes. We keep hearing about the billions that are going from Bank of Mum and Dad. On average, they give their children $17,600 as a deposit. Well, that's not realistic for most families, especially if they've got more than one child.
And that's not even going to buy anything, is it? £17,000 these days.
No.
That's the depressing thing. What's really good about this product, and why it is a Golden Glove winner, is that it's not just for parents and children. It can apply to other family members as well. It can even apply to your parents. So if your, you know, mum or dad wants to downsize their house, but they're not going to be able to get the deposit together to make the move, then that is another option for you. And I think anyone that you can prove against the criteria is enough of a link to you to deserve this money, whether it's a partner, whether it's a sister, brother, step, they could still qualify, providing they meet the criteria that that the mortgage needs. So I think it's a really positive thing because, again, it's not, you know, not everybody's got parents that can release money on their homes, but they might have an auntie or an uncle or a nana. And I just think it's a really nice thing. It's, you know, it feels like a very building society thing to do. And, you know, it's obviously there's something in it for them. The mortgages have to be with Nationwide. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they get another customer on the books for it. But I think they also ensure a bit of loyalty. It's a really nice product.
Well, you spoke there about criteria. What are the criteria? What are the catches as well?
Well, they are giving a discount so that you get an even better mortgage rate. So at the moment, their best loan is 1.15%, and with the discount, it will be down to 0.95%. But as Vic said, it is for close family members. Mm-hmm. So your third cousin probably wouldn't count. But you decide it. And really, I think the main thing is that they've got equity in their property and you sign up a contract and say you will do this. As long as you are close, I think it will work.
Do you expect others to follow suit?
There are a couple of products like this in the market. Mm. I think Barclays was one of the first to try and do something like this. But I think this is quite, you know, it's a trailblazer to open it up beyond, you know, the traditional parent and child. I think it's, like I said, I think it's a really nice product. It's people who are cash poor but are, you know, asset rich, and, you know, they have been punished in the past. You don't have the money to build a deposit, and this is a nice answer for it. You know, it's not equity release. You're not losing necessarily the value of your home. It is a loan.
Yeah.
I think it does provide a nice alternative, and I think it throws the gauntlet down for other people to try and match it.
And of course, all the best mortgage rates are when you have a 35 or 40% deposit. And that's what this would help people to have for their loans, rather than freezing them out with the 95% loans, which are a lot more expensive.
All right, then. We'll put that to one side. Congratulations, though. Golden Glove Award for Nationwide. But finally, as part of the show, where we look at how to navigate some of life's tricky money-related problems in modern manners. Now, we're frequently bombarded by offers, aren't we? Vouchers, loyalty cards from shops and supermarkets. But do they really work? Do they really save us money? Just take a look. In some cases, you have to spend as much as £70 for just 75 pennies worth of points. So, Vix is the retail expert. Firstly, why do they do it? You can't leave a supermarket without getting one of these little vouchers. If you spend £3 million, you can get 35 points. What is the point? Do they work?
Well, they want your loyalty. You know, it's a real dogfight for the supermarkets now to get people to be loyal because, you know, there's so much choice for customers, and customers are aware now that, you know, the price is right elsewhere. You've got Aldi and Lidl in the market that are just everyday low prices. They're not doing anything fancy like a loyalty scheme at the moment. I think Aldi trialled one, but I didn't ever really hear whether that went well. Scotland's reporting. But they do work. And I think, you know, if you are willing to play the system, which you know I am, I'm my father's mm-hmm. daughter, no one is more of a money saver than me. If you are happy to have five or six cards on your keyring or in your purse, you can make a bit of money. And it's money for nothing. Like, don't be loyal, you know.
Take the loyalty card, just don't be loyal.
You know, if you want to. But I think, you know, it's there to be played. I think some people do stay loyal. I think, you know, Clubcard did some really good work in building a whole system where not only did you get money back off Tesco shops, but there were ways that you could trade your points in to get money off holidays, money off days out. They did a really nice thing there where people felt like it was worth always shopping with Tesco. I think they've got smarter, you know, the difference that you get back on the till if you come back, you know, we know this would have been cheaper elsewhere. So here's 17p. I mean, who knows how many people actually bother to do that. I know there's that wombling thing that goes on where people collect the receipts outside the shop that people throw away and cash in. There's so much choice. I tell you what, though, my favourite at the moment, because I've got a favourite, of course I have, is co-ops. Mm. Co-ops is you don't just earn money for yourself, you earn it for your community. So every time you buy a co-op product, some money goes back to your local community, to your local causes, and you also get a bit of money back. And I've already built up a fiver and I've only had the card about 6 weeks. So tangible value. So
I like that too, because when I think of loyalty, I think, you know, principles, value, sort of warm words. And it makes me feel good about myself. Essentially what we're doing here is just so that you can come back and spend more money with them. Like, that's it, right?
Yeah.
This is not about loyalty, so that you don't go elsewhere, but you will. So what's the point?
Well, and they are much worse value than they used to be. Now, they would say their profits being eroded. As Vic said earlier, Aldi and Lidl tend to do everyday low prices. Mm. I don't know if that's a slogan or not, but they do seem to keep their prices level. We've still got the supermarkets with the prices going up and down, and you have these things that come before Easter, or buy your joint and meat with us and stuff like that, and or buy double the amount of hot cross buns, buy things you're going to throw away.
Buy things you absolutely
freeze,
do not
people,
need.
Freeze.
Oh, yeah. I have to always check myself when I'm like, oh, 2 for £5, that would save me 20p, but I would be spending £2.40 more than I wanted to. But my top tip for this is use things like Checkout Smart is really, really good. So basically how Checkout Smart works is they go directly to the Procter & Gamble's, to the manufacturer, and they cut out the supermarket. So they say, you know, you can buy this product anywhere you want. So you're not being gamed by Tesco, who are getting a big kickback for putting, you know, Coke or Pepsi at the end of the aisle. You know, it's entirely within your control. And I think that's a way of properly kicking back. Like, if products they want to test, if they want to go up against, you know, if Coke's got a big promotion on Pepsi, you want to go up against them, they can put this voucher on, and it is cash back as well. It's cash back straight into your account. I think it takes 48 hours. That's a nice little app. If you've got a phone that takes apps, I would recommend getting on that, because I've had some really nice freebies.
And I would say online vouchers, half an hour rewards itself. You look through. I very much hate the idea that I'll buy something that's not one of my core products, but I'll try something occasionally if it's really cheap. But you look and you can see where there is a voucher coming back to you. And if you use these things regularly, you become a mega recipient of vouchers.
Yeah, it's money for nothing. It's the same with cashback. You know, I worked in cashback space for a good couple of years and I made over £1,000 on it. You know, people want your custom. And if you know what your value is as a customer, you are the person in control. You choose where you shop. You know, they're at your mercy. So if you remember that, don't be fooled. If something looks like too good a deal, do a quick bit of research. You know, most people have got smartphones in their hand. They can check. Places like John Lewis are offering you the opportunity to look on an iPad to make sure you're getting the best deal in store. But be a clever shopper. You know, it is all to play for. You know, barter. My dad does some bartering as well. I've honestly never seen anything like it. Papa Layton, he's a man. He's a man of the people.
He's a yellow sticker fiend, though, isn't he?
He is a yellow sticker fiend. Honestly, his Facebook is like all of his little hauls from the supermarket. Oh, this would have been worth £30. And I got it for 17p.
About the apple and the tree. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
You can see where I get it from, can't you? But
and I have two loyalty cards for the same supermarket chain.
Ooh.
And I use one for about 6 weeks, then I rest it.
Oh, she's sneaky.
So they bring you the deals that bring you back.
And then you do get deals that bring you back. Often you'll get them in the post.
Sneaky.
They don't even wait for you to go to the store. You can, if you do that, get something like £30 worth of vouchers just to spend relatively small amounts.
Same if you put something in your basket and leave it for a few days as well, you might well find that they'll be like, oh, you've left something behind. Do you want 10% off? There are retailers that do that. So if you're not in a massive rush to have something, pop it in your basket and see what happens.
I've heard of these things, and I'll be honest with you, it's never worked for me. Maybe I'm just not doing it right. Vic Slayton, Lindsay Cook, thank you so much for joining us.